All right. Amen. All right. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. Turning in your Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 13. And get situated here. Somebody say Builton. And July 1st, we're going to be going to Builton. We'll have that preaching point, which I talked about. So I want us to pray for Builton. Pray for Builton. Amen. God's going to do great things in Builton. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. How many believe God's going to do great things in Builton? Amen. We want the Lord to go before us and go with us. Brother Jess, come grab this and pray for Builton tomorrow. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 13 and 11. And the word of the Lord says, and that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation near than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Somebody say the flesh. To fulfill the lusts thereof. And I want to talk to you this evening on this thought. A wake-up call. A wake-up call. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Can we pray this evening that God would help us be doers of His word, not just hearers, but doers? Can we do that? Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Can you help, Pastor? Would you lift your voices? Father, we need you today, God. We need the help of the Holy Ghost, God. We need the strength of the Holy Ghost, oh God. We pray and ask, God, that your will would be done in this house today, Lord. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Our text tonight comes from Romans 13, and the Apostle Paul is the author. He is in the home of Gaius, so he's serving as a house guest in the home of somebody who's by the name of Gaius. Gaius is a member of the church in Corinth, and we see this in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. Gaius, mine host, and the whole church saluteth you. And a sister by the name of Phoebe, who was a member of the church in Caesarea, was going to Rome, and the Apostle Paul asked her to carry this letter, as we would know today, as Romans. And so it was named for its intended recipients. The early Christians there did not have large buildings for their meetings, and they met in private homes. And the church in Rome was composed of a number of house churches, and where these small groups of believers gathered to worship the Lord. And so they would gather, they would worship, they would get instruction. And we see this in Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. Paul writes, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, it says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved. And it goes on, and if you're looking for names for your kids, there's some names there for your children. The church, or the Christians in Rome, were all over the place. And back in the old days, I'm pretty sure they don't do this anymore. At least I haven't used this function in years. If you had stayed in a hotel, you would sometimes receive a wake-up call. And it's a telephone call made according to maybe some prior arranged agreement of time to wake up a person. A wake-up call, as we understand, is a person or a thing that causes people to become fully alert to an unsatisfactory situation and to take action to remedy it. Hotel wake-up calls, maybe a friend of yours, or when you were maybe a teenager, you knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody. They got caught shoplifting. Wake-up call. Maybe someone near and dear to you passes away, and we understand that the COVID pandemic was a wake-up call for so many. And look, life is precious. It's fun. There's a lot to do and see and to accomplish, but I've come tonight to raise the spiritual flag and be a wake-up call for all of us. I'm concerned when we can give 100% to our careers and to our businesses and our vacations and education, and then we give God what's left, if there's anything left to give him. So the first, it's Bible study tonight, so it's all right. It's going to be all right. But the first point I want to make tonight is don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, he said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Somebody say, watch yourself. Life has a way of catching us off guard. And if you don't think so, just wait and it will. But Jesus is telling or teaching his disciples or his followers, and he's telling them what to expect at the end of the age, or what we would know tonight that we are in the end time. He's telling them that we've got to take heed to ourselves. Sometimes we have a tendency to be more worried about others, and then we ourselves fall short. I'm not getting no help tonight, but sometimes you can become so engaged in having fun or leisure or working and experiencing new things and be overcharged in our hearts. You ever overcharge something, it doesn't work. When it says overcharging, it means that you become burdened or you become weighed down. We were not meant to live weighed down or burdened. We were not meant to live that way. So don't be fooled tonight. The devil wants to weigh you down. The material things of this world can weigh you down because it takes money to keep those things afloat. Well, I'm just saying. And so we can become burdened. Here, Pastor, tonight. We can become burdened trying to keep up materially, but we fall short spiritually. We can study hard and pass our classes, but we fail with our spiritual walk with God. Don't be fooled. Tell your neighbor, don't be fooled. Promotions on the job and the building and building a business and is a wonderful thing, but at what expense? At whose expense, right? Overtime is good, but at what cost? Yeah. Education is necessary, but don't be fooled. Right? Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. You could buy a bed with money, but you can't buy rest. Come on, somebody. You can buy a clock, but you can't buy time. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? You can buy food, but you can't buy an appetite. You can buy friends, but you can't buy love. You can buy a Bible, but you can't buy salvation. Come on, somebody. Mark tells us, "For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Notice this. "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Somebody say a wake-up call. Sin doesn't sleep. The devil isn't asleep. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour." Sin doesn't stop. In fact, it's progressing and it's getting more and more worse. In fact, the Bible tells us that our iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. Romans 1 and 30 tells us, "Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters," notice this, "inventor of evil things." There's really inventors of evil things. And right after that is disobedient to parents. Ooh. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and 20, "But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound." So it don't be fooled. It may be out of control. And it may be chaotic, but God's not in a crisis. God's not concerned about things falling apart because he's got a plan and a purpose. But don't be fooled today. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will never, ever pass away. So we've got to be awake. This is not time for us to fall asleep spiritually, but it's time for us to be spiritually alert, spiritually aware, to be on guard, to be engaged in the kingdom, to talk about the things that God is doing versus what the devil has done. The enemy of our soul should not get more credit than the lover of our soul. Amen. What we talk about affects us, right? Proverbs tells us in Proverbs, 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want to talk about Jesus and what he's doing, what he's done. The people of this world, they talk and they talk about all the ungodly things and sinful things and carnal things that they do. But 1 John 4:5 tells us, he says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. But not us. Somebody say, not us.
Not us.
We are of God, little children. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some of you need a wake-up call to remind yourself that you're a child of God, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why not talk about the blessings of God? Why not talk about the favor of God? When we begin to talk about Jesus, the atmosphere begins to change. It's not depressing, but it's encouraging. Encouraging to live for God. Encouraging to understand that we have the victory. We have victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Somebody say a wake up call. Remind yourself and the enemy, as the scripture says in 1 John 4:13. Notice this. It says, hereby know we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You are filled with his spirit.
Yes.
You are washed in his name. The blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Sometimes we need a good wake-up call like I'm giving us here tonight to understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 145:11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Talk about how powerful God is. We could have a little bit of faith, but a little bit of faith is more powerful than all the gates of hell. We've got power in the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and we shall be witnesses. We need a wake-up call here tonight that sometimes we just need to begin to testify, remind ourselves who we are, who he is, and what he's doing, because what he's doing is what he's done in the past, and if he's did something for us in the past, he can do it again for us today, now, and in the future. What we think about affects us. It could be good things, it could be bad thoughts, but regardless, we need a renewing of our minds. The reason why some of you are getting distracted and got your eyes on other places and other things is because you've got your minds focused on the here and now, that this is not going to work. It's too far. It's too expensive. But the Bible says to set your affections on things above, looking unto Jesus. We got to look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Somebody say, a wake-up call. The world wants you to conform or convert to culture. Wants you to convert to acceptance and tolerance. That's the strategy of the evil forces at work. But we of the people of God must understand, when Paul writes in Romans 12:2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good. Somebody say good.
Good.
Acceptable. Somebody say acceptable.
Acceptable.
And perfect will of God. Time doesn't stop ticking. And the Apostle Paul is urging all of us tonight about a wake-up call. A wake-up call. And I'm here tonight to sound a spiritual alarm and remind all of us, point two tonight, is let's not become casual or apathetic in our relationship with the Lord. Let's have a fresh fire burning within us. We need to ensure that the altars of our hearts and our lives are burning continually. Scripture tells us in Leviticus chapter 6 and 13. How many brought your Bibles to the house of God tonight? Let me see your Bibles. Raise them up high. You get extra credit tonight. There you go. All right. If you're sent something by somebody don't have to bring their Bible, just kind of give them that stink look. Say, you didn't even bring your Bible. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. It's a daily, somebody say daily, commitment that we got to add to it. We got to add wood to our spiritual fire or else it's going to burn out. It's imperative. It's absolutely necessary. So I'm here, for those of you that are waiting for Pastor to talk about something he always talks about, here it is. That's why we got to have a specific time of prayer every single day. We have got to make time to pray. Somebody say it's time to pray. Well, that was not good enough. Let's say it's time to pray. There we go. There we go. Free service prayer is a time to pray. Altar call time is a time to pray. Thursday nights is a time to pray. Sundays, it's a time to pray. But we've got to have time allotted every single day where we bow our head and we talk to the Lord about ourselves. Somebody say amen. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 13 and 14, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you stop praying, you'll start sinning.
Amen.
Don't become lazy or casual or apathetic in your relationship with the Lord. Here, Pastor, tonight, if you can adjust your schedule for everyone else but the Lord, you may be on the path of being apathetic, and this is a wake-up call for you tonight. Somebody say, uh-oh. If reading your Bible for 5 minutes a day is less important than your screen time on social media account, you may be headed on the road in the wrong direction.
Amen.
How many times do we check our social media accounts for a status update? What if for 21 days, when we got the urge to do that, we opened up our Bible app and read the verse of the day?
Amen.
Wake up call. Are we more enamored with a status update from friends and followers versus what the Lord is actually speaking to us about? Notice this, 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So we are not of this world. We have been called out of darkness. And God did not give us a bad spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit. We got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And we cannot finish in the flesh what God started in the Spirit. We cannot, listen to Pastor, we cannot let the battery of our spiritual relationship with the Lord become dormant. You know what dormant is? Dormant is lying asleep. That's what it is. You're not blooming when you're dormant. You're inactive. It's a state of inactivity. And we have to bear fruit, right, Brother Parr? I heard you preach a message about bearing fruit. Matthew 7 and 20 tells us, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Amen.
Look, there's enough religious nuts in the world. What we need is spiritual fruit producers. That's what we need. We need disciples. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Dormant trees are alive, but they don't have fruit on them. We need to be alive, but we also need to be bearing spiritual fruit. People that just go through the motions in the workforce usually are the first ones to get laid off.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't need dormant anointing, right? Dormant ministries, dormant marriages. We don't need dormant worshipers. I can't get no help tonight. We don't need dormant stewardship. Dormancy is not where it's at in the kingdom. And Paul is writing in Romans 13 and 11, he says that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. It's time to wake up. Somebody say, it's time to wake up. I'm sounding the alarm tonight. Somebody shout, a wake up call. I appreciate wake up calls when you need them. If you've ever traveled, and you ever had, traveling is only glamorous when you have your own RV and you've got a lot of money and you don't have anywhere to be and all you got is time. But when you're traveling and you got somewhere to be, especially when you're getting on an airplane, it's not as glamorous as it looks. You get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, someone else's time zone, and it's only glamorous. And then you appreciate that iPhone with 10 different alarms every 5 minutes to wake you up. This is what we need tonight spiritually, is a wake-up call. Say, you know what? I got a hell that's crying after me. It's enlarging itself. But I got a heaven I'm trying to get to tonight. How many of you appreciate wake-up calls when you need them? And we need them from time to time, especially as we move forward in these perilous times. Be thankful that I care enough about you and to keep you saved to give you a wake-up call.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jeremiah writes and says, and I will give you pastures according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. We don't want to have a famine of knowledge and understanding, but we want to make sure that we are spiritually engaged in the kingdom. The third point tonight is avert the curiosity of carnality. Romans 13 and 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What you feed will grow.
Right?
What you feed will grow. Some of us are growing, right? We didn't slow the spread. We didn't flatten the curve. Right? Because we fed ourselves. Learned how to make fresh tortillas. And then it just was game over after that. But what we feed will grow. We need to starve the flesh. We need to starve out the carnal man. We got to starve out and not make provisions for the flesh. The flesh wants to do things that are carnal. And it's the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the deceitfulness of sin and the cares of this life. But we cannot make provisions for the flesh. Listen, the Bible declares in Romans 8 and 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's two Bible verses in the scripture that tell you how you cannot please God. Without faith and being in the flesh. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You got to make sure, if you're making a decision, you better make sure that you have prayed and fasted about it, and you've gotten some good, godly example, or else you're just going to head down a path to nowhere and end up in a situation that you're going to look back and say, if I could have. If I should have, I could have, I would have.
Wow.
Somebody say a wake up call.
Wake up call.
The reason why some of you are battling is not because of the devil or sin. It's because of you making decisions in the flesh.
That's good.
You've made poor decisions and God has forgiven you, but you've got lingering issues. And that's not God's fault. That's our fault. He forgave you. He put you on a new path, but it's up to us to stay on that path and head in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I got this, and make a U-turn. No, baby, we don't got this. We need to make sure. True repentance is I've turned my back and I'm moving forward with a new mindset of emotions and attitudes and actions, because we need a wake-up call. Temptations will always be available. And if I can add, readily available. But 1 Corinthians tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Listen to pastor. Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell him, listen. Oh, no, it's not loud enough. Somebody say, listen. There we go. Sometimes you have to say no to sin and hell and family and the boss and the friends and say yes to Jesus regardless. Regardless. The temptation lingers, but the decisions to act is upon us. And we've got to make those right decisions according to the Word of God. Notice this. Many times in the Bible it says to flee from or keep yourself from. Notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So an idol is anything that comes between you and God. So can somebody's job become their idol or career? Can some could extracurricular activities or vacations become an idol? 1 John 5 and 21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Somebody say amen. We need a wake-up call. We got to avert the curiosity of carnality. How about this? 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Flee fornication. How about this one? Maybe I'll do a sermon series on this one. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Yeah. But follow after righteousness. That's a good thing to follow.
Amen.
Faith. Where's faith at? Peace. Or charity, which is love. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Somebody say a wake-up call. How about this? 1 Timothy 6 and 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. That's a lot to chew there. And destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Supposing that gain is godliness. We accumulate all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And we think that we're doing good and God's blessing us. The blessings of the Lord he maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow unto them. But he says, from such, withdraw thyself. Stay away from. But I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you need a wake-up call. 1 Timothy 6 and 11 says, flee these things. And he goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12 to fight the good fight of faith. A little boy wanted to see an eagle fly. And he put some sandwiches in his backpack, got his binoculars, and set out into the plains to go see an eagle or some eagles fly. The sky was clear in like an endless blue blanket. but there were no birds in sight that were flying. And then off in the distance, he spotted some wings. And was it an eagle? No, it ended up being a hawk. And he began to meander down the road a little bit more. And another bird came into view. And so he grabs his binoculars and he looks. And only to discover it was a pigeon about to head home, dejected, when far off in the distance, above his head, he spied it. He saw it. It was an eagle. The magnificent creature that soared above the boy's view, and he was awestruck. And this boy had learned about eagles in school, but nothing had prepared him for the reality of observing an eagle in real life. When the eagle spreads its wings, they say from tip to tip, it could be anywhere from 8 to 9 feet long. And it has been said that eagles can see up to 2 miles away, and their eagle's vision is very keen and precise. And when the eagle spreads its wings, it uses the wind to increase its velocity. So the greater the wind or the storm, the higher the eagle flies, for the wind or the storm will push the eagle higher and higher into the air. Mesmerized, he watched the eagle as it began to fly. As Sister Parra would come and give me some background music, it would begin to fly, and it would soar, and it would ascend and circle and glide and maneuver, and then suddenly the eagle swooped down to the ground like a torpedo, and it snatched something and it took it back up in the air, and the boy couldn't see what it was. The eagle went higher and higher. And then it stopped, and as it began to suspend in midair as if it had been shot, the eagle began to fall, and the little boy looked on and confused, and this time it felt the eagle falls to the ground, and it didn't dive down, it just kind of fell aimlessly to the ground, and it was plummeting and falling, and it falls, and finally it disappeared out of sight, Sister Julian. And he heads and walks over to the general direction of where the eagle was, Sister Martinez, and he finds the eagle there. It's lying with its wings stretched out, helpless. The eagle was lying down, its nose in the dirt. It was dead. What killed the eagle, he wondered. Cautiously, he turned the eagle over. And affixed to the great bird's chest was a weasel, one of the lowliest and common ground critters. The weasel had bitten through the eagle's chest, pierced its heart, began to consume it. A weasel is a small, slender, carnivorous mammal. If you look up the definition of weasel, that's what it will give you. But the next definition it will give you, Sister Breon, is a deceitful or a treacherous person. A treacherous person. The boy thought, Sister Emily, he said he picked up something that he wouldn't let go of. The weasel could never hurt you if he didn't pick it up and hold on to it. We stand tonight. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6 and 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You hear Pastor Panero, but your adversary, life, the cares of life, people, your feelings, somebody say my feelings, will weasel its way into our lives and cause us to miss out on a revival, on blessings, on anointings. It'll weasel into our lives and we grab onto it. It'll eat your joy and your peace. And in the course of our spiritual walk with the Lord, we've got to make sure we don't hold on to things that are going to be deceitful, enticing, evil, carnal. Because if we hold on to those things, we're not able to do the things that God has called us to do and to be. If we don't drop it, it's going to bring us down. Make no provisions for the flesh. We can't make any provisions for the flesh. Time is ticking, it's ticking, it's ticking. And God is calling and he's positioning and he's setting up the church. And he's looking at a church and a people that say to wake up. For now is our salvation near than we first believe. We got to cast off darkness. We got to be children of the light. We got to be salt of the earth. We got to be the city on the hill. We got to be the light of the world. We got to be a wake-up call for the people that are asleep. I hope to God tonight there's no people that are asleep spiritually under the sound of my voice. But if you are, here's a wake-up call for you tonight. Wake up! Wake up! The bridegroom cometh! He's coming. He's looking for a people that he could say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Don't be fooled. Don't become apathetic with your relationship with God and invert carnality, saints of God. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord right now? Can we lift our voices unto the Lord tonight? Come on. Jesus. Jesus.